We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
50% righteousness.
Yo, Angela Yee, I love you.
50% ratchetness.
Tell them ratchets to sit down.
I'm more like 95% ratchet.
This is becoming the most prominent form for hip-hop.
Wake your ass up.
Yeah, it's early in the morning, but they tell me it was y'all. I say, oh, hell yeah, I'm getting up.
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Your people's choice.
Angela Yee.
I'm a sweetheart, but I'll cut you.
Charlamagne the God.
Prince of Piss and People.
I can't believe you guys are the best, kid.
Collectively known as
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man
or black,
say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Angel.
Angel, good morning.
Yes. Me and my daughter listen to you guys every morning. We deliver newspapers.
Okay.
Hey, I want to thank you and your daughter for having no taste. We really appreciate you.
Stop it. Where you calling from?
From Bethany Beach right now.
What's on the cover of the paper today?
Delaware?
Yes, Delaware.
What's on the cover of the paper today?
A guy with basketball, the news journal, and a whale-looking thing.
A whale-looking thing. How old is your daughter? Why is she working with you so early?
My daughter is 1.5, and that goes back to the whole child thing. I'm trying somebody with her.
Oh, I got you.
So you bring her out with you.
And can't quite afford a sitter yet.
Nope.
I know.
Me and my husband both work. We got 4 kids.
Yo, your arm must be amazing. I tried to throw a paper one time across the street. I couldn't do it. You could throw the papers from the car and hit the front stoop?
Yeah, you gotta have a good arm to especially be able to throw across the car.
Okay.
A nice flick of the wrist.
There you go. Well, thank you for listening, Mama.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, everybody has bad days, but you gotta think somebody else has it worse than you, so always be positive.
There you go. Thank you, Mama.
Have a good day.
You too. Hello, who's this?
This is Tiffany.
Hey, Tiffany. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Hey, get it off your chest.
Yeah, I'm just pumped this morning. My husband, my kids were blessed. Yes, we are. My husband, we had thunder sex last night. I'm working on stage 5 because we got 4 kids.
Woo! Now, what is thunder sex? What is thunder sex now?
13 years. Thunder sex.
What is that?
The best sex that you can have. When the lightning come out, you know it was raining real
hard. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that's a good feeling.
I was working on stage 5, but I jumped up too quick. But that's all right. We can still get there.
Yes, ma'am.
All right,
yes.
Mama.
Okay.
All right, well, enjoy your day. You seem happy.
Yes. Thank you. God bless.
Hello, who's this?
It's Joey.
Hey, Joey, get it off your chest.
Hey, man, I want to tell you, DJ Envy, that y'all really do need to start the show at 6:05, like Charlamagne said, man.
Look, the show starts at 6. We were just joking. Charlamagne... He says 6:05, but it starts at 6.
Oh, they think I'm joking. They think I'm joking about my time being different. Okay.
You got me on CP time, DJ. You should know you Dominican, man.
Goodbye, man. Hello, who's this?
Hi, my name is Makaya. I'm from the 317 in Indianapolis.
What's up, Mama? Get it off your chest.
I have a question for Angela. So, how do you feel about a guy saying that you can't wear some type of dress, like a guy that's your boyfriend saying you can't wear some type of dress or some kind of outfit mm-hmm. because he doesn't like you in it, but he likes pictures of girls on Instagram in the same outfit.
Well, first of all, he can't tell you what you can and can't wear. That's completely up to you. So let's get that straight first and foremost. And that's a silly reason. Now, he could not like something that you wear, and he can express himself in that way, but he can't tell you you can't wear it. So now it's up to you how you react to that. Do you say, okay, I'm going to do what I want to do and make this stand that I'm going to take so you don't try this in the future? Or do you say, okay, let me listen to what he's saying and see if there's a valid reason that he feels that way, and then we can discuss it. It's up to you.
Okay. Well, what if it's like he doesn't like it because he doesn't want other, like, what if you wear it while you're with him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a dress with a slit in it, but he doesn't like the slit. But I mean, you're with him going out.
There's nothing he could really do about it. It's not really on him. He should think that you're his girl and you're, you know how to dress and you look cute. I don't think that he can tell you what to wear and what not to wear. That's all. What's he going to do? Take you home and say we're not going out anymore? Do you ever tell him how to dress?
No, not really. It's just like... I don't know. It's really weird to me. And we had this discussion like the other day because I wanted to wear a dress. And he was like, I don't want anybody else to see you in it.
Well, but tell him to buy you.
Taking pictures with girls in short shorts and shit. And I'm like, is that because of me or like what?
Well, tell him to buy you some clothes that he likes then.
Have a good one, mama. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hello, it's Rachel.
Hey, Rachel, get it off your chest.
I was calling to say I am so blessed this morning. My new interactive children's book is climbing the charts on Amazon.
Okay, congratulations. What's the name? What's the name of the book?
It's called Amber's Magical Savings Box. It teaches kids about earning and saving money, giving those millionaires a head start on their road to financial freedom.
How is it interactive?
Oh, that's dope.
Well, the kids have to write their financial dreams and goals inside the back of the book. They follow Amber as she earns money for this magical toy she wants to buy, and they have to kind of like walk along with her in this journey.
All right. That's good. Teaching kids the value of how to save and spend.
What's the name of the book again? I'm going to look it up.
Amber's Magical Savings Box. It's in honor of my niece Amber we lost at the age of 3.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for ages 3 to 8-year-olds just to get them started. It's a few that can do savings journals in the back of it and everything.
Okay. Thank you, Mama.
All right. I like
thank
that.
Thank you.
All righty. Hello. Who's this?
Mocha.
Hey, get it off your chest, Mama.
I want to know, is it normal for you guys to pick up and then, you know, be on hold for like 20 minutes and never get connected back on the line?
Is that normal? Why? Why? What happened? When did that happen to you?
Yesterday and maybe like 2 other times.
I'm sorry, Mama. Well, what did you want to say? What did you want to call about?
Well, I wanted to, again, thank Angela Yee for, just looking out for me when it came down to the music situation.
Oh, okay. Oh, you do music. That's right.
You remember?
Yes,
you remember
I do remember.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
And then, let me tell you, when people actually did check out the song, it was like, man, Charlamagne was tripping. I'm like, man, I came from work. I was tired getting off from overnight, so.
You want to try? You want to give it another? Myself. You want to give it another try?
Y'all dying to listen?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's go.
Oh, boy.
Oh, don't do me like that, bro. Don't do me like that at all.
You ain't ready for the big leagues, Mama.
I know I got what it takes.
I can't tell.
All right, come on. You stalling. Let's hear it. You got to redeem yourself.
All right.
A one, a two, a one, two, three. Boo.
Damn.
You tried.
No, she didn't. She really didn't.
No, I said we tried.
Oh.
Get it off your chest, bro.
Closure is a scam. Don't text them. Don't call them. Don't, oh, hey, how you doing? Like,
what is closure?
Yeah, what's that?
You know, you guys break up. You guys have a fight. Oh, like, let's talk about it. Let's work it out. Now, you guys break up. It's for... Just drop it. Move on.
What happened to you?
He is definitely hurt.
Well, yeah, what happened to you?
There's no such thing as closure.
Pretty much, been with the girl for a while.
Oh.
On her cheating, and yeah, man, I'm done with that.
So you wanted closure?
He's hurt.
Nah, she wanted closure. And, well, yeah, I guess both of us wanted, like, a mutual goodbye, but... It ain't happening.
There's no such thing as closure, man. You either with it or you're not. Clearly, y'all not no more.
I'm sorry you got your feelings hurt, boo.
Yeah, I'm sorry, boo-boo.
Well, congratulations to the guy. Congratulations to the guy that had sex with your girl, though.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Oh, he's hurt.
She got good poo-poo. Somebody got to get it, even if it's not you.
Well, I guess that's closure, then.
And it's okay to be hurt, okay? It's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
Yo, at that man on Twitter, tell him congratulations. He banging a good one, all right?
Damn it, man.
Just not good for you.
You guys are not helping. Hello, who's this?
DJ Envy, what's up?
What up?
Yoni lady.
What up? What up? Get what off your chest. Up?
So, what I'm getting up about this is what I'm blessed. I love the show. I'm riding through it. Just coming from the gym, so I'm loving all of that. But, honey, y'all had me on hold for like a week straight. I listened to the whole show on the phone.
How you work out on hold?
Man, after I get out of the gym, I go to gym at 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. I cut the show on immediately once I'm in the car, and then I start calling. As soon as y'all say get it off your chest. And that I've been on hold. I started to y'all inboxes. If you check your DM, I spent the whole thing. I've been on hold for like the whole ride to the house. One day I went to Walmart and was walking around Walmart and was on hold listening to the whole breakfast club.
Well, you need to do more with your life, boo.
At least you don't have to pay for minutes. You have unlimited, right?
Yes, I do. And something why I got to do more with my life. I'll be trying to get through. Y'all be helping me out. The last time I got through, I got so many orders from New York. Do you know what that means to me?
Well, shout out your company now.
Yoni Spa Room. I am the Yoni lady calling from Savannah, Georgia. I help women get their yonis tight and right.
Okay. And how do they reach you?
YoniSpyRoom.com, Instagram at the Yoni Spa Room, Facebook Yoni Spa Room, everything under Yoni Spa Room or the Yoni Lady.
And Yoni means poom poom in what language?
It's a Sanskrit word, so, you know, opal.
So everybody out there with loose yonis, go yoni. Get your yoni tight.
Go get your yoni tight.
Get your yoni balls.
Me loose.
Bye, yoni.
Bye.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
Yarmanika Saunders. Welcome back.
Hi. Thanks for having me back.
Good to see you. She was early today.
Yes.
She wasn't on Rap Artist Time.
No.
She was an hour and a half early.
Why were you so early?
I was early because I'm trying to change the narrative about big women being late and lazy.
What?
You understand? Like,
Charlamagne's a big woman.
No, because you know what it is? People say, what's your thing? Is black men don't cheat?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, well, fat bitches don't eat then. If we telling lies, let's tell them all.
Who don't cheat? I'm playing.
You said who don't cheat.
Listen, black men don't cheat. We're changing the narrative.
Okay, you're changing. So you're changing I'm changing the narrative about big bitches. We don't eat. We just got this way because God wants us to be flumpy and lumpy.
I do feel
you're
like
not that big, Yarmanika. Stop.
I am very curvy in all the right places.
Yeah,
I
you have, got big bosoms.
Yes, heavy breasts, heavy thighs. But, you know, I cannot deny that I have a gut. Anytime a man has to lift up the hood to get in there, you know you a big girl. So.
Well, I love the outfit.
Thank you.
I was telling you, I love the colors.
Yes, taste the rainbow.
Hold on, speaking of tasting the rainbow, how do they lift up the hood? What do they do? Like, do they actually grab your stomach and
don't
pull
act
it up?
Like you ain't been with no big bitch before. You know what to do. Come on now.
Pull
you
up
know
that
what
Facebook
to do.
Picture.
I did one time.
Yeah.
Did you have to lift the hood?
Nah. She laid on the floor.
On the floor?
The thing about big women is big women are more flexible than people think.
Yes, I am very flexible. Yes. But if you didn't have to lift up the hood on a big woman, that's because she was doing a somersault while you was trying to get her out. And then everything just fell down. You understand what
kind
saying?
Of guys do you like body frame
wait, wait, you didn't put her on the bed? You put her on the floor?
Nah, it was a quickie. Because we were trying to do it before her father came back home. It was way back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had did a weekend in jail, and I was just horny. Her name was, she used to call herself Big Nasty. Like, you know how she used to have it airbrushed on the front of her Honda? So I was like, let me walk up the street real quick and dip off into Big Nasty since I just spent this weekend in jail.
Well, anyway, Yarmanika, back to you.
Thank you.
What kind of body frame do you like when it comes to guys, though? Do you have a preference?
Well, skinny guys normally like me. Mm-hmm. Short guys like me. But I don't have a preference when it comes to guys. I am dealing with a nice, cute little 29-year-old right now.
Okay, Yarmanika.
Yes!
What race is he?
He's black. Okay. He's Haitian. That's even blacker,
Sorry,
right?
Boss, hey. Okay.
Yeah, he be putting little shit, you know, when he be making stews and stuff, I have to make sure it's like really a stew and not,
Voodoo.
You know, him trying to kill me.
My
but,
goodness.
You know.
Have you posted him on the gram?
I have posted him on the gram. I won't tag him.
Why
but
not?
Have,
you don't want the girls to see who he...
You know, I don't know. Like, you know, just in case, I don't want to be out there, you know what I'm saying? Like Mary J. Blige put my out there and then I got to write a song about him because it didn't work out.
Look up Pierre. Let's see what Pierre looks
He's
like.
He's very cute. Should I say his? No, I'm not. My lawyer's here,
him?
So I just, she knows.
I don't
to keep
see
me.
Him.
Where did you meet him?
I'm telling you,
he's a comic. I'll show you later.
Oh, he's a comic?
Yeah. He's cute.
Is it Will Sylvans?
No, I wish it was. Will would get my body right. You know, Will is all about health and raw food.
We used to go to his boxer.
I love
Will.
We
used to train with his boxer.
Will is great. Will is great, but Will has a speech impediment, so also you don't know what the hell he's saying. So it's like, you want to be out or you just what? Okay, but I love Will. Shout out to Will Sylvans. He's amazing.
You're going to be at the Gramercy Theater this Friday, right?
Yes, yeah. I'm going to be at the Gramercy Theater. I'm doing a brand new hour.
Hey, how hard is that to do?
Well, I had a lot of content available. People don't understand, like, as you know, I've been doing comedy for almost 20 years, even though I'm 12. And, you know, it's just sometimes it's hard to just get the spotlight on you to, you know, sort of raise up in the business. Mm-hmm. And then people are like, oh, you some brand new comics. Like, no, I've been doing this for a long time. I have a lot of things to say. So when I did The Degenerates, which is out on Netflix, mm-hmm. that was all my sort of dirty, raw material. Mm-hmm. And then I just had my album come out, Damsel in Distress, which was sort of like, you know, who Yarmanika is and just wanting to be vulnerable and kidnapped and, you know,
why
I don't
you
get
be
all...
kidnapped?
I want to be kidnapped because I want to get kidnapped. I mean, why should all the other girls have fun?
So you want somebody to grab you, throw you in the back of the
truck?
Really,
I
want some... Don't you know I do commentary on that show?
I know. That's why I said it, because me and you are both into that show.
I'm so into 90 Day Fiancé, but I have to be real. Like, no, don't know other country want me. You understand what I'm saying?
What do you
so
mean?
I couldn't do it the other way, because I would just get they whole shit together, and they ain't got time for that. Figure
What's
this
your
out.
Favorite couple from 90 Day Fiancé?
I like Azin, and because he doesn't like the girl Nicole. I think it's Azin and Nicole, because okay. he been trying to get her to lose weight. And let me just say this, ladies, if you with the man and he's like, I can fix you, leave that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be fixed. You either like what I got and then pray to God that it gets better, or you just going to be a ground bottom with me right now.
Yeah, because you just said you would date Will Savince because he would get you healthy. So what if he was like...
I didn't say I would date him because he would get me healthy. I said a benefit of dating him is that I would get healthy. I'm doing pretty good on my own, and I don't believe that every big woman is unhealthy. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And there's small bitches out here that are very unhealthy. You know, with the...
He
want to help
you
get in.
He hears you complaining about your stomach, mm-hmm. complaining about you lifting the hood, and he's mm-hmm. like, "I want to help you get in shape."
First of all, let me just stand up so everybody can.
Hey,
see.
Hey.
Get it, girl.
I told you you're not big.
Okay,
Java.
You
the
you
one.
Know, this is a little whatever.
You got to fix your area.
You know what? And this is the thing. I burned my titties, right? And so they think these burns are nipples. They're not. I just had a bad incense moment.
I thought it was
because I'm not really African.
How did you burn right there?
Well, I was cleaning my house. I had some incense burning. The incense fell over. And instead of me, like, it fell on one titty. And my brain was like, well, smush them together to put the fire out. I got a double burn.
Okay, I thought you just had the big...
No, I do have a huge areola. It just makes it even better now. My hair areolas are so big, I had a guy try to eat, you know, suck my face, and it looked like Gary Coleman had come back from the dead, because this is a full face. You know what I'm saying? My are like a headshot. And you like, what is this? It could be on Power.
How long you and your man been together?
We've been together 3.5 months. We've known each other for years. We are, you know, we are a nice little situation. He met my mama. My mother liked him.
That's a little past a little situation if he met mama.
Did he meet your dad?
Well, ain't nobody met my... I barely met my dad.
Oh.
But, I mean, I know the there. But my dad's so young and just like... I got this young daddy who's still trying to get, like, young girls in the club. It's like, I can't be rocking with you. You still trying to make FUBU happen. That's gone. So...
Who came back?
Did it come back? It my daddy back. Brought it back.
I mean, people ain't... I mean, it's not back like people rocking it, but it did come back.
Well, how'd it come back if you ain't
right? I don't know. I don't understand what he meant.
What
I'm saying is it's not in style, but there are new FUBU products available.
So you
for
say it exists.
Buy.
Well, don't buy it.
Okay.
Where you get it from? Etsy?
I have no idea.
Amazon Etsy? Prime? Like, that's when you know your thing is really doing bad, when it's on Amazon Prime for $7.99.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
But there's a difference between helping somebody because you should learn from whoever your partner is and somebody trying to change who you are.
Right.
And I think that's the difference. Like, of course, we should be with somebody we can grow with, somebody we can learn with, but not somebody that's like, okay, you need to change this about yourself.
Right.
Or if you did this, you'll be a better person.
I don't understand the difference, because, I mean, you'll go to a life coach, and a life coach will tell you what you need to change.
But that's you voluntarily doing something because you made a decision.
Who go to life coaches like that?
People go to life coaches.
A few people.
If you go to a therapist, psychiatrist, they tell you what to change about yourself.
I see a therapist. I see a nice old Jewish man. We're changing each other. You know
what I'm saying?
I'm doing a lot of Hava Nagilas now. He doing a lot of yes girls when he sees me. But, you know, we're living our life. One of the things I like about the relationship that I'm in now is, number one, once you get into a relationship, here come all the all the guys
Everybody.
Are like, yo, let me hit you up. You got a glow. You got a whatever. I'm like, it's not a glow. He's on my face a lot. So is this too much for
no,
the morning
go,
time breakfast?
Go deeper. Go deeper.
I don't want anybody to not be able to digest.
I was
going to
say your face is glowing.
People eat for breakfast all the time.
Thank you. It's very beautiful. But what we are learning in this relationship is there are things about me, like I'm very much a, like, I'm an independent black woman. You ain't going to tell me nothing. Life is hard as it is. And what I want goes. And he's teaching me now to just kind of be like, yo, chill. It don't have to be all mm-hmm. that. We ain't really in an argument. I'm like, no, we're in a full argument. He's like, nah, we're not in an argument. We having a little moment right now, but I'm totally chill. So I'm like, well, I guess I got to chill. If this is chilling, I got to chill too. We chilling together.
All right, we have more with Yamanika Saunders. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Yamanika Saunders. Yee.
Yes, Yamanika. I remember I was laughing so hard. I seen you on stage for Donnell Rawlings' show at Caroline's. Now, you were supposed to go on later, but you went on early because you actually had to leave and go to another gig.
Shout out to Donnell. I love him. Y'all be giving him such a hard time.
Who's
but
that?
I love him. Donnell Rollins. I love him.
Know who that
and
is.
Let me just
he
say this.
He opened up for you?
No, he did not open up for me.
I heard he steals jokes.
People.
Donnell is a notorious fat shamer. Notorious.
He's never
yes,
fat shamed
me. Yes, he is. He, Envy has a real estate partner yes. named
Are
Caesar.
Are you getting ready to pull up? Oh,
I
saw that about you. The one that he said looked like.
God damn it.
He started it.
I deleted it,
man. But he did look like Big Pun, though.
See?
Envy, I adore you. I want to get a house from you whenever I can afford it. I want you to flip some shit.
I don't sell houses.
But what is you flipping something? Ain't it houses? What the fuck you doing? Every time I see you doing something, you flipping a house in New Jersey or some shit like that, and you're doing this, you're building, you're doing drywall.
You don't sell houses?
You're working at Monte Key on the weekends.
I thought he sold houses too.
What the fuck are you doing?
No,
I thought you sold houses.
No, but I buy houses, I fix them, and I rent them out.
You did. Oh, you rent them out.
I rent them out.
Oh, okay.
But he can help you buy a home.
I'm not a realtor. I'm trying to encourage people to buy homes and to create
You should become
wealth.
A realtor.
Okay, but I'm trying to figure out because then you got the home, and you trying to make money off the home, and you making money off the home.
Yes, ma'am.
So you selling the homes.
I'm selling rooms or apartments.
Oh, you doing?
I'm keeping it.
SROs.
Yeah, I'm keeping it. So,
oh, you the slumlord?
I'm not the slumlord.
Envy the slumlord.
Oh, man.
Selling rooms.
I'm selling apartments.
Okay, now it's apartments. Like, you said rooms, and now
it's apartments.
Apartments.
It's like 4 family units, so I sell units. One
oh, you
unit,
got
units,
4 families worth of living under one roof? Oh, my God. Does the government know? Anyway, I want one of the homes. I don't care what it is. Give me a family. I don't have one.
I'm not selling families.
What kind of this is a so you're a foster care program also?
I'm not selling families.
Selling homes and families. What kind of is this Django Unchained going on here? Okay, so I'm gonna leave that alone. But I adore you. Thank you so much for everything that you've done.
I'm trying to encourage people to buy homes and to invest in themselves so they can always have property instead of continue to rent.
By investing in you and putting money in your pocket.
No.
Oh, Let's not act like you not making money. I'm just to the point.
I'm trying to encourage people to invest.
Okay, she said, are you making money?
No, not in me. I'm bringing credit repair people.
Okay.
Lenders. Agents.
Check
attorneys.
Attorneys.
So
families.
People know how to do it the right way without getting got.
But they got to get got by you before they don't get got Okay, so get got by Envy. First of all, his teeth straight as hell, so tell me right now, he getting money, okay?
Man, you are crazy.
I'm still missing the same teeth I was missing when I came here. I need somebody to help me make it.
Oh, my God,
Yamini. I'm going to flip homes now. There's a surrogate that I was going to get. I need you to help me get a family.
You got the young boy now. He can shoot your club up.
Well, I hope so, but it, you know, the club's getting about to close down. So,
you want to have kids?
I want to have kids, but I got to have them because now, you know, when you get in your 40s, they start saying, well, you better hurry up and have a baby before the baby handicap. And I'm like, damn.
That's an old school thing. That ain't true no more.
But that's what they still telling women that.
They have babies
now. And I don't care if the baby's handicapped because I have people in my family are handicapped. I would love that handicapped baby. Plus, it's going to come with a sticker. We can park wherever we want. So that baby, I need that baby. Because I like to park up front. Costco, you know, they don't give you no bags. You got to carry a box.
It's Yamanika Saunders. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, if you watch The Kardashians, this is what happened, and then we'll explain it. Let's play the audio.
He was really upset. She was putting her in the car, and Penelope scratched her face.
If a kid scratches, can you pop the kid in his cool?
No, but you could also say something to her in the moment.
I'm sorry, but if he scratched me for no reason, I'm whipping her ass, and I'll explain to y'all later.
What?
I would whip her ass.
You would whip Penelope's ass if she scratched you? What are you talking about?
Scratch me.
You would whip my daughter's ass if she touched you?
Now you explain what they're talking about.
Corey Gamble, that's Kris Jenner's boyfriend, said that if Penelope, who is Kourtney Kardashian's daughter, scratched him in the face, he would whip her ass.
Right. Now, I actually hit my my niece when I was younger. I didn't know no better. I popped her on the hand, and I was wrong for it. I felt funny for it. She was acting up, and I popped her. And I had a conversation with her dad. And, you know, we talked about it. It was no big problem.
He mad?
No, he wasn't mad at all. That like my grandmother used to hit. I remember my grandmother beating me for spraying roach spray on the stove just so I could see the flames go up.
That's your grandma, though. Your grandma is your big mama. You know what I'm saying? Your grandma is the person who used to beat your parents. So being that you came from her chairing, okay, she has the right to put her hands on you.
She
grandma
did.
Really might be the only person.
And I sprayed the roach spray, and then I said something to grandma, like, don't hit me. And then when my dad got there, my dad beat me for talking to his mother like that.
Exactly. See, listen, grandma and granddaddy might be the only person that have the rights to do that, but, I mean, me personally...
He's kind of like a granddaddy, though.
Corey Gamble?
Yeah, he's kind of like a grandfather.
No, he's not. Why is he a grandfather?
Well, he's the grandfather.
Oh, he's a step-grandfather. No,
yeah.
but he's not
but
by
not
blood.
Married.
He's not by blood. My, the moral of the story is I don't beat my children. I don't beat my children because I just don't see the need. You know what I'm saying? And furthermore, I think that you can just have a conversation with kids, but I'm definitely not putting my hands on nobody else, child. Like, if you put your hands on somebody else, child, then me and you got smoke immediately. There is never a reason for you to put hands on my children. And what if I don't beat my kids, but you hit my kids?
Listen,
Think about that. What if I don't hit my kids, but my kids are at your house, and then they get hit by you, an adult? Now me and you got a fade to catch.
Well, I've never, ever hit anybody else's kids either. I have 3 godchildren. I'm the number one babysitter. Actually, I feel like when I'm babysitting, my responsibility is just to spoil other people's kids.
I don't see nothing wrong with that.
That's what you should do.
That's all I do.
As a godparent.
They always like, okay, I'm going to see Angela, so I already know what we're going to do. We're going to go shopping. We're going to go buy some new toys. We're going to get ice cream.
Grandma hit me with an ashtray one time. I did stupid stuff. I deserved it, though. I deserved it.
Listen, we all...
It fixed me, straightened me right up.
No, it didn't.
So it's okay for us to hit you?
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
Listen, we all got beaten when we were kids. I got beaten with extension cords. My dad used to beat me with an extension cord, made me go take a bath. I used to have to go pick the switch. I had them little wooden utensils on the freaking kitchen wall. My mama would hit me with those. But guess what? If we being honest, all of that was just abuse. And the truth to the matter is, all our parents was doing was the best they could. They were probably young parents at the time. That's the only way they knew how to discipline was through physical punishment. We know better in this generation. We don't got to beat our kids. And we damn sure shouldn't be putting our hands on nobody else's.
Hello, who's this?
Marita.
Hey, Marita. You ever had to put your hands on somebody else's kids?
I did. I was watching my niece, and she was messing with the socket in the wall. And I told her, and I actually went and got her and pulled her back, like, twice. And then she put her mouth on it. And I popped her in her hand, and I told my sister. And I did feel bad, but I agree with Charlamagne, and I agree with you. Like, some kids you can talk to.
Right.
And, you know, they'll listen. But some kids, I think you got to pop them every now and then.
But even...
That's what the white man used to think about slaves, too.
Even
some of
that,
these slaves you got to beat.
Like, even at it with a two-year-old. Like, a two-year-old you can't have a conversation with, don't put your finger in the electric socket. But if you pop their hand, they think about, you know what? If I go near this electric socket, it's going to hurt. I'm not going
to
do it.
Yeah, but you're not telling them... You're not explaining to them what could happen if they actually put the hand in the electric socket. I tell my daughter, you know, if you put your hand in that, you're going to die. You're not going to be here with us no more. Well, I would rather her...
So you told that to your 1.5-year-old, 2-year-old?
She's one. That's why you got the plugs in the socket to put the socket.
Obviously, this lady...
You're not listening to my point, though. You're not teaching them that the socket is what actually can kill them. You're teaching them to be scared of you. When the reality is, you'd be teaching them that, no, the socket is what can kill you.
Right, but 1.5, they're not thinking about, wow, this socket. They're thinking, if I go near this socket, I'm going to get popped. I'm not going near that socket. That's how kids think.
Well, you should have put the goddamn things in the socket. You should have child-proofed the sockets there.
Kendra!
Yeah?
Good morning, Kendra. You ever hit somebody else's kid?
Yes, I have.
Well, now, what happened, Kendra? Who you hit?
All right, so, look, I'm in the Walmart. The little kid calls me the B-word. So I give his mom a chance to reprimand him, you know, like, hey, you don't do that. That's disrespectful. So he calls me the B word again. He was like, bitch, hurry up. And I popped him in his mouth. You got me up.
Hey, Kendra!
Oh, my gosh.
Kendra, you can't walk around. That's
Kendra,
abuse.
Kendra. Her mama should have dragged your ass
and then locked you up. You can't just be hitting kids you don't know, kid. You don't even know this kid.
Hey, Robert, if he had Tourette's. I gave his mom a chance.
Robert, if he had Tourette's and he had a problem and he would just be splurting out, bitch, so you just popped the kid in the mouth.
Nah, come on now. See, then I would have felt bad. But see, she didn't say none of that. She was just like, yeah, hurry up. I'm just like stood by her son's side. So she left him with her ass too.
You got, what did the mama do to you after you hit the child?
Nothing. She just kind of looked at me like, I can't believe you hit my son. And I just looked at her. I was like, yo, you got a problem? I said, we can go out to the parking lot.
Boy, y'all some brave souls.
Because then you was about to fight the mom.
If that lady would have pulled out a gun and shot you right there, she'd have been in the right, because the story would have been a woman hits somebody's child in the store.
Not even that. Crazy black woman.
Yeah, crazy black woman hits a white little kid in the store. White woman, she guns it down.
Kendra, where you from?
I'm from Chicago.
Yeah, makes sense.
Hey, bitch, hurry up and get off my phone.
My goodness. 800, she gonna F you up. 800-585-1051. Have you ever hit somebody else's kids? Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. EJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. I don't know if you should call him Young Berg or Hitmaker.
What do you prefer nowadays?
Hitmaker.
Hitmaker's in the building. What up, sir?
Oh, man, just chilling, man. How you feeling?
Happy birthday. He's a Virgo as well, fellow Virgo.
Yes, sir. You already know.
So it's like Young Berg dead, kind of?
Young Berg died, so Hitmaker could live.
Hey. Why didn't you do like a whole ceremony, like really play it up, make it a big thing? No, for real.
I mean, the internet might have did it for me already, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I had to do what I had to do.
That was one of the best rebranding situations I've seen.
Yeah, I think in the last 10 years, it's probably been myself, 2 Chainz, and Joe Budden.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Those three as far as
And now it's just crazy. Like, a lot of people didn't know. Like, even when I took the job to be vice president of Atlantic Records, like, I never did, like, a press release. I never did nothing like that. Because I knew this was going to hate. You know what I'm saying? I think it's better to stay low and keep firing.
You got a job at Atlantic Records?
I'm vice president of Atlantic Records.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
When the hell that happened?
2.5 years ago.
Wow.
He's been making hits for a long time.
And Joe trying to act like we in Atlantic Pocket?
Hold on,
and he in bed with you, and you the VP of Atlantic? Joe,
by the way, after the Breakfast Club interview.
Yeah. after the Breakfast Club interview. What do you mean? I became vice president. My last interview here, I took the job after that. And then we were up here talking. I think at that point, like, I had a couple number ones. I did Big Sean Bounce Back. I did Chris Brown Party. And then going to Atlantic, man, in the last 2.5 years, as a writer and a producer, I've sold over 15 million records with him.
Congratulations, brother.
What's that? A&R, VP at A&R. Gave A Boogie his first number one record. Did Meek Mill first number one record. So... good vibe.
Talk that talk, Hitmaker.
I love it, though.
So you and Jeremiah are partners still?
Nah, that's my brother. He changed my life, like, for real, for real. When nobody was rocking with me, he took me on tour, and everybody know Jeremiah bounced to the beat of his own drum, like, so.
We never seen him.
Exactly. So I was able to have, like, 50 Jeremiah records. Nobody has Jeremiah hooks and all that other stuff, and I was able to run it up, and that really put me in a position to really, like, change my life, for real, for real.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I always thought you guys were partners, kind of, is it unofficially partners, or?
It's just my brother, and we just work, like, we're serial collaborators, like, and, you know, we just work all the time. That's what's funny. The funny shit is that the girl from Love & Hip Hop, Hazel E, introduced me to Jeremiah, and
wow.
We went to the studio to do Jeremiah came to do a record for her, and then it turned into just me and him working, and me giving a song to Meek and Chris Brown for his collaboration.
So Love & Hip Hop helped your life?
Let me hear about some bullshit, but I mean, I'm glad I made it out. Who is it? Me, Cardi B. I would say Kate Michelle, but she right back in his shit anyway. So
Joe Budden.
Joe Budden right back
he's
in his
show still. He's talking about made it out.
What about, like, Tiara Marie? You supposed to be the Tiara Marie?
Nah, I feel bad for Tiara Marie,
too. You should
too.
Let her some bread, bro.
Yeah, hey. So she can pay 50.
No, she ain't got it. She ain't got it.
What do you mean back in the shit? Like...
back on the show. Back on the bullshit. Like, I could just imagine Joe was going to go through this season with him, you know what I'm saying, and his baby mother not being together. Like, they gonna spice that up for sure.
I don't understand why he's back on Love & Hip Hop.
The man told me he got $1 million to do it. I still don't believe
no
it.
No way. He's a liar. God damn it.
He's a liar.
No, that's a mother... lying.
Still don't believe.
I thought you wanted to go back on the show at one point.
Hell no. Not after they try to trash me with that whole
Because I don't understand why just be saying like that as if we not all in this business and we can't fact check.
Joe driving around looking for cars. He might have
no $1 million to be on no Love & Hip Hop.
You gotta ask Mona.
Please.
Yeah, that's how
maybe
outlandish.
He did. VH1 wouldn't approve that back. I wouldn't approve nobody. Now, Berg, come on, Berg.
Getting $1,500 an episode.
Exactly.
Joe not getting no damn $1,500.
I'm not saying Joe is, but come on. He ain't no $1 million.
Not a million.
Exactly.
Or maybe they doubled up. Maybe they gave him $5 and gave Sin $5, and that's
Joe
how he
get more than $5,000. He's not doing no damn
$500,000
for the
season.
For the million.
For the season. $500,000. You think that?
That sound kind of high, too.
Who you think is the most paid person on Love & Hip Hop?
I would think Remy Ma and Papoose.
Right now? It depends. I mean, I don't really watch this show right now. I don't know.
Somebody in the back said Rich Dollars.
Shut up.
But then, you know what? You have a lot of connections on there because A1.
I don't f*** with A1.
But you did. But I'm saying you did have a lot of connections.
I don't f*** with A1.
At all?
Nah.
Why you don't f*** with A1, Burke?
Because, like, they put me in a mix of all that Love & Hip Hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was trying to separate myself from that because I went through traumatic on the show. Like, they tried to, like, kill my whole career again. And, like, they put me around a bunch of bull. And I was like, yo, keep that away from me. Then he went and trademarked, like, I would always say, like, tuh, like, that's my shit. Then he went and trademarked my shit behind my back.
Isn't that your album name?
Yeah, he went and trademarked.
And he has apparel and everything that says tuh. He gave us some,
I don't know.
That, bags and
what
everything.
Does tuh mean? I would think that was an acronym if I saw
it's
it.
It's just like, fuck you. Like, it could be used for multiple different things, you know what
Wait,
I'm saying?
Wait, he took good that behind your him. Back and trademarked it?
Yeah, he did.
That and y'all remember the video where they were on live in the studio and people ran up in the studio?
Oh, yeah.
That was Cap, though. That was Love & Hip Hop Cap for them to add to their whole
because that wasn't real. Charlamagne.
Wow.
So that's where we parted ways because I'm like, yo, if y'all could use me for that type of bait just for whatever y'all doing, then ain't no telling what y'all could do with me. And, like, I'm vice president of Atlantic Records. I can't be having no shit like that go on. You know what I'm saying? That was literally my place of business that Atlantic put me in a studio to be at. So wow. I had to cut that off for real.
So hold on. Did you know it was fake when it was happening?
He was just on Instagram Live. You know what I'm saying? Like, he would walk in and out the room and be doing a lot of different stuff. I didn't know nothing. Like,
so when they ran up in there, you thought it was a real situation?
Yeah.
So that could have went bad.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, you could have had a gun. Something could have, you know what I mean? Your people could have shot somebody. Like, yeah.
Who you telling? Who you telling, bro?
Over Love & Hip Hop?
So do you want to rap again? You don't want to be an artist anymore.
Absolutely not. See, the thing is that a lot of people like, yeah, I'm a writer, yeah, I'm a producer, but I'm about to be the biggest executive in the game. Like, Craig Kalman gonna have to get up out that seat for me. You know what I'm saying? One of these days, like, I'm about to be bigger than every executive out here because I actually have the relationships and I actually make these records. Like, when I created Dangerous for Meek, like, that was just something, me just being in the studio. We did that song in 30 minutes, and then it turned into being a big record for them. And I think that a lot of A&Rs, no disrespect to them, a lot of them are glorified middlemen. You know what I'm saying? They're just like, oh, I know this person, or they taking credit for records because they put somebody in the studio with somebody when I'm actually on the ground level getting my hands dirty with this, you know?
But there is a talent to hooking people up and putting people with people as well.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
But my talent is just bigger. Right. I'm not on them.
Mm-hmm. You did on Craig Kalman just now.
No,
not that I care.
I want his job. I want his job. I'm supposed to aspire to that. Yeah, L.A. Reid, all these different executives that I'm learning from, QCP, Coach K, like, I'll look them in their face and be like, yo, I'm going to be bigger than you.
And nothing wrong with that.
Nah.
But I will say it's very hard for creatives to be in those seats. That's why a guy like Craig would be in that seat. Like, they don't put creatives
in those
seats.
That's a lie. Craig Kalman is a co-producer. I like it like that. Cardi B record with J Balvin and all them.
He actually did.
He played music. You go to Craig Kalman's house, he has
vinyl, like, all covering all the walls.
So he picked a sample.
Yeah. Okay. L.A. Reid, he's an executive, too. He was a music creator. He was a creator.
Did he do
that? So that's a talent. It's not a talent, like, on your level.
As far as sitting down, actually doing the...
Yeah, like, and really creating stuff. I think that it's really more so, like, the blessed thing about what I do is that, like I said, like, I really... A Boogie had never worked with nobody like that, like, closely, because he just goes in the studio and just kills these records and goes crazy, and they plaque up and they go stupid. I was the first one for them to, like, really open the fold. We went to Hawaii. He gave me his whole album. Look Back At It was a song that was like, we had that song for 9 months. So me being Vice President Atlantic Records, I was able to hear the record. We was waiting on the sample to be cleared. The song was actually 5 minutes and some change long. I took the record in Hawaii. I added the snaps to it, and I restructured the record and made it a 3-minute record, and it was our first number one again.
Well, Craig Kalman might be the exception to the rule, but we're not going to sit here and act like these white executives be having talent. Like, come on, stop now.
Charlamagne said that.
And they be culturally clueless like a motherfucker. 95% of the time.
A lot of nepotism that go on with this. You know, like, when one person get it up, they get a little homie the job. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Which is nothing wrong with that as long as you qualify for the gig, you know?
All right, we got more with Young Bird, a.k.a. Hitmaker. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're kicking it with Young Bird, a.k.a. Hitmaker. Yee.
Now, let's talk about your project, uh-huh. Right? Because... You have Thought Box out now.
Yeah, Thought Box just came out.
The hell is Thought Box?
It's my single.
I hear it on Sirius all the time.
Yeah.
So you said you don't want to be an artist, though?
Huh?
You said you don't want to be an artist?
No. It's a Khaled type thing. It's a producer album. So okay. I had the pleasure to work with on Thought Box, A Boogie, 2 Chainz, Meek Mill, YBN Amir, and Tyga are all on the record. So it's all the...
So I would assume that it's pretty easy for you to get anybody to be on your album because you work with a lot of these artists and they want to... get some beats from you. So do you do like exchanges?
Yeah, we could swap it out. Mm-hmm. That's what I did with everybody. Well, first and foremost, a lot of people, well, I done got so much money and I done got so lit that I'm not really charging people. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I got a relationship with you, like a 2 Chainz, I've known him since he was Titty Boy. His record with Ariana Grande, Rule the World, his last hit, I did that. I didn't charge him though. You know what I'm saying? That's how I was able for him to get on my record. And everybody that's pretty much on the
song. But you still get your money from royalties, publishing, and all that stuff.
I remember when Def Jam asked me what should be the single off 2 Chainz album, and I said that, and he was like, ah, no. Matter of fact, they said anything but the Ariana Grande record.
Mm-hmm. And look at it. It's about to get a plaque right now. That's some of them people that don't know what the they talking about. Shout out to everybody at Def Jam. Maybe they was going through, you know, they just transitioning. They been hiring and firing people a lot. So, I mean, maybe they was tripping and lost in the sauce on that one.
What did Hitmaker learn from Young Bird? Because Young Bird made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, keep the right people around you. Never do too much. You know, I was wilding back in the day.
Was you on drugs or drinking a lot? Like, what was it?
I did ecstasy a lot back in the day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, it was good for me because I made all them hit records on it. And it was bad for me because, you know, you get out of character. And when you young and you just get millions of dollars out of nowhere, like, and you don't have no OGs, you don't have nobody telling you what to do, what not to do, how to move, how not to move, you end up in some Young Bird. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you work hard enough to become hitmaker.
You have the most random stories, I'm sure.
Oh my god.
Of things that happen.
Yeah, dog. My life is a real movie. Like, for real.
You worked a lot with Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
What did you think about her coming out and saying that she's retiring?
The thing is with Nicki, I think that people feel like she's going through something right now, but everybody sitting in this room, no, that's just Nicki Minaj, yo. Like, you know how many times she done cursed me out and said some of the craziest to me in the world. But on the flip,
what she said to you?
Meek was gonna beat me up at one point when they was dating
she
and
told
all
me
that.
Stuff.
Yeah, like she and, no, she called me bitch ass eat a dick. I was on a Nicki hate train. And but my thing is like, yo,
You work for Atlantic. You know Atlantic had a plot.
No, absolutely, absolutely not. And at the end of the day, I cannot say nothing bad about Nicki because yeah, she cursed me out and we did a lot of together. Like mm-hmm. when I was working with her, she really put her arm around me and really embraced me. And like I got a lot of clout, like a lot of cool points because I'm in Nicki Minaj's studio every day. I ended up doing 6 records on her album, and it was great times for me. But now that I got money and I'm rich, like I can't be, it won't be tolerated. Like talking to me like that, I can't do it.
Did she accuse you of being on the hate train because you work for Atlantic?
No, not at all. She was actually proud of me. When I first got my gig, like I told her, she flew me down to Miami because, like, for a while, like, her and Meek were dealing with each other, and I'm going to keep it 100. Like, Meek voted me off the island. You know what I'm saying?
At that time,
it was his girl. I was in the studio all the time with her, and I just think that it was like, yo, he got to move around. So they removed me. I moved around, and then when they broke up, she hit me back, and we ended up working a little bit.
Why did he remove you? I'm confused. Why did he remove you from the studio?
It was just crazy times, Charlotte, man. It was just real crazy times.
Well, like, you thought that you was trying to get with Nicki?
Was it justifiable? Could you understand it?
The truth of the matter is that I didn't know him and Nicki were dating.
Mm-hmm. And you tried to holler?
No. So I would see Meek out. And I'm like, yo, I'm finna go do this, da, 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 da. I'm finna go do this with some hoes or whatever. I didn't know they was dating.
Oh,
so I'm in the studio just talking shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? I seen Meek earlier, you know, this, that, and the third, blah, blah, blah. We was kicking it.
Snitching.
She went and snitched on me. Like, and I didn't know that they were dating at all. Oh. And that's how we got, that's how it happened.
So you would see Meek with girls.
No, now you're wrong. now you're wrong. And Meek is my guy, so don't even do that. Meek was just at my birthday dinner. That's my dog, so don't even throw
so
me in
so you would
the
call
mix.
Nicki a hoe?
No. Like, say he was out in the club and Meek was in the club. He said, oh, yeah, I was in the club. His mad hoes. Meek was there. He might not have been doing nothing.
Oh, got you.
Meek was there. Might be like, oh, so you was in the club with some hoes.
Got you.
He cleared that up for you, bro.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm a woman.
It was weird for me, too, because Safari was actually around at the same time, too. So, like, I would be in a studio with Nicki and Safari would be in a studio. And then, but she was, I don't know.
It was during that transition period.
Yeah, it was a weird time.
When did you make the decision to like, I guess, fully commit to the hitmaker thing?
I just realized that, yo, like, I got good product, but people didn't want it from me. They didn't want me to be the one that was delivering a message or delivering a song. So my first big ones were John by Rick Ross and Lil Wayne. I was Grammy nominated for that. Shout out to A.O. and Keys.
You did John?
Yep. Then my next big one was Tamar Braxton, The One, and that's what prompted me to fly back and move back to L.A. Shout out to Vincent Herbert and Tamar Braxton. You know, that was a good look for y'all.
Mm-hmm. For y'all.
So, like, and Tamar, it's funny as hell, yo. It's funny as hell with Tamar, because after I gave her the hit, like, she went on a rant that I didn't do this and I didn't do that or whatever. And then, like, I was at the BMI Awards, and, like, I seen her, and I touched her. And she was like, Vince, he touched me. And I just touched her on the shoulder. I was like, damn, I just gave you a hit. And then from there, she...
What did Vince do when she did that?
He was just like, hi, Berg. He was like, hey, yo, dog, I don't want to look at no man with their mouth open.
So why'd you work with Vince?
Nah,
his mouth was always open.
Listen, man. Ain't nobody...
So she didn't realize that you worked on the song.
Oh, she knew. Rest in peace, LaShawn Daniels, who just passed. She for sure knew that what I did and what my collaboration to the song was. They took my tag off the song.
Damn.
They went crazy on me. And then, I don't know. They didn't want to give me the credit. You know, I wasn't big enough at that point, I guess. And then, she all in my pictures, on my likes, my comments. So I guess she want another.
Yo, Berg don't care,
is
man.
Is it better for you to lay low? Is it better for you to, like, stay behind the scenes and just write and produce? Or
yeah. Why would I want to work as hard as these got to work?
Yeah.
Like, I'm in a studio. You think I want to run around? Like, for my single and for my stuff, I'm doing it strictly because they said Young Berg was finished. He'll never have another hit record again.
Young Berg is definitely finished.
I went and I had hit records. Now I'm about to have a hit record with my own single.
Maker, though.
Exactly.
You're not Young Berg no more.
I mean, until I get a face off or something like that, I'm still going to be me. You know what I'm saying? Huh?
You married?
No, not at all.
Oh, I see the ring on that ring finger. Something.
To the game. I'm like Marcus Graham right now, for real, for real. Mm.
All right, we got more with Young Bird, a.k.a. Hitmaker, when we come back. Let's get into his new joint. It's called Thought Box. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was Thought Box. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Hitmaker, Young Berg is here. Yee.
Since you said that Love & Hip Hop tried to destroy you, that was the whole situation with Masika, right? Where they said that you had attacked her, things had gotten physical. Have you guys resolved that situation since then, you and Masika?
Me and Masika talk all the time. In fact, she actually came up here and told y'all that none of that happened and Charlamagne was sniffing her seat and all that other. I remember that interview.
I sniffed Masika's seat?
Yep. That must have been a long time ago.
It had
ago.
To be about 7 years ago.
That was about five years ago.
About six.
Masika wasn't famous 7 years ago, bruh.
Love and Hip Hop. Listen, sniffing seat era was about 6 years ago.
Love and Hip Hop was 2014, so it was 5 years ago.
There were also rumors that she was dating Jeremiah at a period in time.
I think he smashed, probably. I don't know.
So does that make you feel away knowing that was your ex and then she dated Jeremiah?
Or? No.
You gotta love Bird.
This is Hollywood. Like, so let's be clear. Like, the whole cast, I probably smashed the whole cast of Love & Hip Hop when we was on that. It's mad women. I won't even say because I'm not a kiss and tell type dude.
You just did. You just kissed the whole cast.
I ain't say no names. I'm just saying. Like, it's Hollywood. You know how it go, man. We all, you know, kind of like... We all
it's like incestual.
It's weird, but you know, I'm not on that no more. I will not be dealing with any leftovers from any of my friends or colleagues that I work with. Just know I will be importing and exporting or doing something out the norm because
90 Day Fiance.
No.
I don't think I sniffed her seat either. Bro.
You most definitely
sniffed.
Don't disrespect Masika like that, man.
You sniffed J-Lo's seat.
That's it.
We might have to go back and look at that footage. It exists.
I've only sniffed J-Lo.
He would have made it up, though.
No, I don't think that Hitmaker would make that up.
No, because we live in this era, like, you see something on the internet, you think that's it all the time. Like, you know, you make little mama cry one time. Like, oh,
I watch all the Breakfast Club interviews, Charlamagne.
Thank you.
Yes, you did, bro.
I was a wild boy back then.
Hey, black men don't cheat, Charlamagne.
Not no more. We've all grown. We've all evolved. You know what I'm saying? We different people.
Now, are there
good morning, Masika. How are you?
Yes.
I don't like him saying that he f***ed you.
What?
Whatever he said.
I did.
Oh, no, you said Jeremiah.
No,
he
said, yo,
Masika.
He just said that.
He said he don't know, man.
I don't know, maybe.
Don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, they did date. Wasn't
that
the
words in that man's mouth?
They dated.
I didn't hear him say that.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was something that was known. Like,
I didn't know that. That's new to me.
Okay, so, hey, guys, if you're dating and you're adult and it's year 2019, safe to say you done got some action. I mean, I wouldn't consider myself dating nobody if I haven't slept with them.
Maybe. She might not want to give it to you yet. She might want to wait till marriage.
You wouldn't be with somebody who's celibate?
See, I got to smash the first night immediately.
The first night?
Yeah, because I don't want to waste my time. What if you put in like 2 months into something and not get something and the sexual chemistry isn't there?
But if you
like,
don't perform well that first night.
I sold 20 million records in the past 2.5 years. I shouldn't have to wait for no people.
28.5 million records, Charlamagne.
My bad.
8 number ones. So many top tens, I can't even really count them. But, I mean, it's
been
a blood.
What if you perform terribly that first night? You ask for a do-over? Do you ever have to apologize?
It depends on how I feel about the chick. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, sometimes, you know, it could just be, like, a in-and-out type situation. Or if I really want to go in, I would catch a redo.
Don't you feel like you have to represent in this climate? Because they'd be like, yeah, I was with Hitmaker, and I don't know why they call him that, because that hit did not make it.
Nah, I mean, you got money, you might not have to hit it as hard as you think so.
Oh, come on.
For real. People talk.
Money don't got nothing.
You know how much they done said about me? I do not care what nobody got to say about me. Run my check. I'm happy.
Are there people that you'll never forgive from during that era that might want to work with you that are big, but you're like, I'll never work with that
trick,
person?
Trick, Mano.
It ain't no reason to work with Trick, Trick, or Mano anyway, right now. I mean, seriously. I mean, God bless them both for their careers. But I never, what people didn't know about the fact that I never met Trick Trick a day in my life. I don't know that man. I don't know them people. And Mano, you know what I'm saying? He's a cool guy. Like, I just think that got blown out of proportion. And that was something that he kind of took and ran with it on a little press publicity type of thing or whatever. But
why you say there's no reason to work with them, though?
Yeah, Charlamagne, you trying to get me in trouble right now?
He paused.
No, I'm asking a question.
I mean,
I still listen to Mano.
I don't listen to Mano.
Yeah, I like Mano music.
I mean, personally, I just don't feel like they're relevant to what's going on. I don't think I'm catching a number one with them.
Listen, I don't want to leave this out there because, you know, everybody's grown. Everybody's evolved. People going to think you took a shot at Mano. They're going to think you took a shot at Trick Trick.
No, absolutely
not. Let them know it's all love.
Absolutely not. I have nothing but love for Mano and Trick Trick. Those are things that happened over 10 years ago. I cannot carry that type of energy with me. No disrespect. I respect everybody.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And when is the full album coming out?
I'm going to just drop single after single after single and go platinum with all of them and then drop the album like Tiger and my going to go gold the first week.
And what's the name of the album?
Big Tuh.
Who else is on the album?
the whole industry. Charlamagne, Lil Duval, Black Man Don't Cheat remix on my album.
Let's do it. I don't know if you into that, if you part of the Faithful Black Male Association.
Though. I can, though. You got to believe in me. You know, I got to get
He's
a part
single.
Of that.
Do you got a girl? You got a woman?
No. Mm-mm. So, I mean, at some
you
point.
Want one?
Yeah, of course. At some point, I got to settle down. I'm getting old. I got to share these experiences with somebody.
That's what Kevin Lyles told me a long time ago. He said, mm-hmm. find somebody to share your experiences with.
Exactly. Because, like, you can achieve all these goals and then get all this wealth and get everything and then have nobody to share it with. And then you look back and just be like, damn, I just worked my whole life and now I don't got nothing. But I'm still young. So, probably like 35, you know what I'm saying? I get active.
Yeah, do you take girls, like, on vacation and things like that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. Why not?
I'm just asking. I haven't seen no pictures of that, so.
Nah, see, we keep it on the low. I ain't like Joe Budden, like how he was just in wherever
Turks
he
and
was. Yeah.
I was there that same weekend he was there, too.
I thought y'all was together.
Hell no.
Why wouldn't you be with Joe? What's wrong
Joe
with that?
Joe my man, but I wouldn't know.
You on vacation with Joe?
No. First of all, Joe was ducked off because Joe was with some,
right.
some
oh,
woman. I don't
who
know
was
who
he
was with, but he wasn't.
We didn't know this.
Joe wasn't trying to run into none of us. Mm.
I seen her. She was very voluptuous,
she
to
was
say
very
the least.
Thick. Yeah,
wait, you
yeah,
were in Turks
yeah,
also?
Yeah.
Nah, I mean, I seen it on the gram just like that. Sorry.
I hit him, though. I was like, yo, where you at? And he was like, let's go get some. I said, let's go get dinner. He was like, he hit me back the next morning. He was like, man, I would have went out, but I was knee deep in some ass last night.
See?
That sounds like a private conversation, guys.
That's like a private conversation. Why would I want that out
yo,
there?
Yo, you're Charlamagne.
You in Turks and Caicos with a thick woman. You just talk with
Charlamagne. The man is filming Love and Hip Hop right now. Come on, man. Don't do that to him, Charlamagne. It's going to be next thing right now.
But what kind of woman are you looking for?
Somebody. Well, it's hard. It's
don't
hard
don't
dating.
Start with this. Remember last time you asked that question?
Shut up. Don't even do that.
It's hard. It's hard dating, you know what I'm saying, now because it's like you don't know if the woman. See, Charlamagne's situation is different. Your situation is different. You both known your wives forever.
That's a fact.
So y'all really came from the mud together. Mm-hmm. Now meeting a chick like I love the star tenders. I love the girls and starlets, but I can't think that they can actually be one of my girlfriends. They don't know me. They're going to catch me throwing money at them. In fact, I've never been a starlet in none of them clubs either. I'm never going to your bar. I'm never giving.
You love a picture.
The gram?
Lust. Lust is crazy.
Which one you like the most, Bernice?
She's not at Starless no more.
No.
She been
she not?
Like 6 years.
But they got new star tenders?
Yeah.
I didn't know. They got new ones, bro.
It's one named Nicole that's bad. It's one named Winnie that's bad. And they all cool people. You know mm-hmm.
They got a gram?
Yeah, of course. For what?
Black yo, you man, mad? What
I'm just
down.
Looking to see.
Put your phone down. You
black men don't look.
You don't need to see, bro.
Ain't exactly. Black men ain't blind.
Get your Bible, bro.
Don't do that.
Black men ain't blind. See, you play too much. Looking. You know what? I was going to say Hitmaker. Hitmaker, Berg. We appreciate you for joining us, brother.
Yo, I appreciate y'all having me, man.
All right.
What's her name? Nicole.
Hey,
yo, chill, Charlamagne.
You done made her hot. You
get
just made
Bible,
her hot.
Bro. Go get your Bible, bro.
I'm just looking.
All right. It's the Breakfast Club. It's Berg, Hitmaker.
Yes, sir.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't get a date, you dumbass. You get donkey of the day. You get dumbass.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, huh? I'm going to fatten all that shit around your eye.
They want this man to throw them blows, man. They wait for Charlemagne to tap these gloves. Let's go.
They had to make a judgment of who was going to be on the Donkey of the Day. They chose you.
Yes. The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Yes, Donkey of the Day
goes to the doctors at Leicester Royal Infirmary. Now, in certain places, bruh, if they mess your order up, it can be life-changing, all right? You know, if you go into a doctor's office, that shouldn't turn into a what I asked for versus what I got situation. But that's exactly what happened to a 70-year-old British man named Terry Brazier when he went to Leicester Royal Infirmary. See, Terry went to this hospital for a bladder procedure. He was just going to get a cystoscopy. All right. Basically, that's what Botox is injected into the bladder wall to help control urination and our defecation. Now, I don't know why they didn't put Terry under during this procedure, but for whatever reason, Terry was chatting it up with the staff and didn't realize until he pulled off from the drive-thru that instead of the number 3 quarter pounder with cheese meal he ordered, they gave him a number 2 cheeseburger meal. Now, sometimes when you go back to get your food after McDonald's or some fast food restaurant screws up your order, they just let you keep whatever they gave you, and then they give you what you actually wanted. So you end up getting blessed with more than what you came for. I guess Terry can look at the bright side in this situation, because depending on who you ask, okay, even though Leicester Royal Infirmary got the order wrong, they might have gotten Terry right. Now, I'm not going to let Terry tell you himself. Oh, I'm going to let Terry tell you himself how Leicester Royal Infirmary got the order wrong. Let's go to Leicester Live for the report, and please listen until the end. The end is very important.
I went into the hospital, Telson Borough Oxford, for my active bladder. Nurse came from the theatre and asked me, "Is that your name?" I said, "Yes." They took me into surgery, and they carried on the procedure. But there was no other checks done of who I am, my age, date of birth. No, this is what we're going to do, and you know, this, that, and the other. It was then at the end of the procedure, they went into another room and then realised that they'd done the wrong procedure. I wondered what was going on, and then she actually told me, and I went, "You know, you were supposed to come in for Botox. Unfortunately, we've circumcised you."
Ooh.
He went in for Botox, and they circumcised
him. So he wasn't circumcised already?
Yeah, man. He just went in for a simple little Botox of the bladder.
Ow!
You know, he's just trying to get his urination and defecation in right, and instead he ended up getting that pickle taken out the back. Now, for everybody out there who is a faithful member of the Brotherhood of the Hooded Pirates, I don't envy you. I had a skin bridge up until I was about 17. It was just one little piece of skin.
Oh, my goodness.
From my shaft to the head of my penis, and the amount of schmegma I used to build up under that little skin bridge. Now, if you don't know what schmegma is, it's like you can't believe it's not butter, just with a little pungent smell.
It's like toe jam, but under the in your
foreskin.
Penis.
Yeah, think like the fresh avocado spread that be on your avocado toast. It's like that, but with a yellowish color. Somewhere right now, somebody
That's
heard me
disgusting.
Say that right as they bit into their avocado toast. Good morning. All right, now I'm looking. I'm not into foreskin shaming. Okay, there's plenty of people out there who love riding the covered wagon. You would be surprised how many people like that Auntie Annie's original pretzel dog with a side of pecker cheese. So maybe the Leicester Royal Infirmary did Terry a favor. Now it's not like Terry could go back and get that sausage scarf put back on. So he was awarded more than $24,000 in compensation. That doesn't seem like a lot of money to me for that. Does it to y'all?
No.
Okay. But if you want to know why there was a surgical screw up, it was because of the staff mixing up notes. Mm. Now, there's no word on if he got the surgery that he actually came for, the Botox on the bladder. But aren't you happy, Terry, that you don't have to worry about getting your foreskin stuck in your zipper anymore? Look, once again, I am not shaming any of you brothers who love to play Fortnite while playing with your foreskin. All I'm saying is when it's 100 degrees out, we can smell that smegma frying in your jeans. That's all I'm saying. So maybe, just maybe, this hospital did Terry a favor. But that's really not the moral of the story. The moral of the story is they got his order wrong. Please give Leicester Royal Infirmary the biggest ER.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Maybe they did him a favor, though. Mm-mm-mm. I don't know.
I heard it's very painful when you're older.
Do you like uncircumcised penises, E?
I've only ever seen one in person.
Were you grossed out?
No, because it was actually, I was a virgin. I didn't know until looking back.
Oh, you didn't know that? You didn't know that?
I didn't know the difference.
You didn't know the difference.
That's right. Okay. What about you, Charlamagne?
The turtleneck was probably harder to handle and deal with, too.
The okay. What?
The turtleneck. Like, you got to, like.
All right.
Pull it back.
Okay.
Because I think when guys clean it, they have to pull it back also and, like, roll the turtleneck back.
Why are you yelling at ye for people, things that people do on a daily?
People are eating.
And
they don't want to hear about schmegma.
I didn't say anything about that. What's wrong with a turtleneck? Right.
Stop foreskin shaming people.
You have to, like, roll the turtleneck back.
We're in New York. We got a large Caribbean and Spanish audience. Okay?
What does that mean?
Don't shame them.
What does that mean? What does Caribbean mean and Latino mean? What does that mean? Huh? All right.
It's like a slinky kind
of thing. Okay, guys.
Slinky. Little peekaboo.
All right.
Girl, tired of playing peekaboo with that penis of yours.
All right, Charlamagne, thank you for that donkey of the day.
Yes, sir.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
He got money.
From Hollywood Unlocked. You might know him from there. Jason Lee. Welcome, sir. Welcome back.
Jason got a bag.
Yo, and Angela's here.
Yeah, I wasn't here when you were here before. But again, thank you, Jason Lee, for actually giving The Breakfast Club an award.
Of course.
When you had your ceremony. So if you want to tell us what that was all about.
Yeah, so I had told the story at the brunch that I was on MTV and VH1 and applied to go to the MTV Awards. And then my told me I couldn't come. So I was like, how is it that I'm on the network and can't come? So I went and created my own award show, mm-hmm. the Hollywood Unlocked Social Impact Brunch. So when we were going through the list of, you know, people who are important to us, of course, The Breakfast Club was at the top of the list. So The Breakfast Club got the culture award. We just got the name plays back, so we'll be sending that in the mail soon.
What's that iHeart bag, though, like? You know, first of all, round of applause to Jason Lee.
Congratulations.
4 years. He's been building Hollywood Unlocked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now it's nationally syndicated.
Man, look, last time I was here, I said this interview was an important part of that journey because I feel like people actually really see you when you're here. And I want to shout out Charlamagne because as soon as we walked out, he got on the phone and hit the folks up at iHeart and said, hey, we need to figure out something with Jason. Next day I was on a call and here I am, nationally syndicated.
What's that bag like, though?
The bag is really
nice. I didn't want to text you and ask you. I wanted to wait to see you.
This is what I will say.
You got different cologne on. I know that much.
He has Versace.
Hey!
I look at DJ Envy's Instagram. I got goals. I will say, the thing I love about iHeart, you know, white folks pay on time. They called me about the check. They were like, are you ready for the wire? I'm like, are you? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready. Send it
so, yeah, thank you, iHeart.
Now tell us about the show, which is a two-hour show, right? Is it countdown? Show, explain to people who don't know what it is.
Okay, so Hollywood Unlocked, you know, we say we're the pulse of pop culture. We talk, mm-hmm. you know, reckless, interview a lot of the different people that are out there in the business, both on the pop culture side and, you know, white side. But we also talk to, you know, folks who are part of hip-hop. So the two-hour show is going to basically be us interviewing people that you know and asking the craziest questions. Like that Antoine Fuqua, I want him right now. The other day he sent me a cease and desist letter. I get sued.
No.
Now I'm getting sued more after this interview. Matter of fact, because you asked me if I'm getting sued.
Yeah.
Now they think it's just a gateway to send me lawsuits.
Why did he send you a cease and desist?
Well, you know, Antoine Fuqua, you know, he's in the news because he was out there messing around with his family friend, Nicole Murphy. Mm-hmm. And so...
Just a friendly kiss.
Yeah, I mean, it was like Jordan Woods sitting on Tristan's lap. That's the thing in Hollywood, mm-hmm. right?
Or Charlamagne sitting on Wendy Williams' lap. Just
that was years ago.
Man, I can't wait for that reunion. yeah, apparently we had dug up some receipts. I guess he had a kid or something on his wife some time ago, allegedly. So there's these court documents.
Really?
Yeah. There's these court documents, and so we put it up. And so he doesn't want us to talk about him. But I'm like... If you was just focusing on movies and not cheating on your wife, none of us would be paying attention to you.
Black men don't cheat. was there any other offers on the table? Any other situations? You don't have to say the names.
Well, we had been talking to people, and I think, you know, the fact that iHeart decided to take a risk, and, you know, I first thing I said to them before the wire came was, what do you want me to polish up? Because I'm sure there's some that you want me to clean up. They were like, nah, don't change. If there's any notes, we'll give them to you like we give to Charlamagne. I said, okay, cool.
Notes? They ain't never gave me no notes.
That was a joke.
Oh. That was a joke. Relax. That's what I was saying. I said, on this platform, they have never told us don't say anything, don't have this guest, nothing at all.
Yeah.
I wasn't here when you came to the Breakfast Club last time, but is it ever a concern for you when you have relationships with somebody, reporting on stories about them? Has that ever been an issue for you?
No, like you saw that. So I'm back on Love & Hip Hop. I know everybody's like, why did you go back to Love & Hip Hop? That's so, you
I
know.
I thought you wasn't going to do it.
Well, the bag was right.
A lot of bags.
Basically about his bag.
Well,
bro.
Let me say this. The bag was right. Shout out to Mona and Big Fish. They did a great job with that. But also, I like the fact that this season, they actually are shooting real shit. My brother, who was murdered when I was 19, that was a real important part of my life. I think it's an important part of people getting to know who I am. So when they approached me and said, we'd love to tell that story, and then the money was right, I was like, of course. So I say that to say, last episode, I had to confront A1 about his cheating on Lyrica Anderson. And yeah, it was uncomfortable, but it is. I mean, I'm going to put it up and you're going to run into me anyway, so I might as well just tell you. You know, I like giving people a heads up. Like I was here last time, talked about Chloe. I give you the heads up so we can put in what you say. You said it ain't true. Well, what were y'all doing?
When's the last time you got threatened for putting something up?
I haven't been threatened yet. I absolutely know with this new show I'm going to get threatened, but here's the deal.
Because you be out, too.
No, I'm out. I will call the police. Let me tell you something.
Give me a round of applause.
I'm sending y'all to the jail.
911, what's the emergency? No, come now.
Let's be clear. Run up on me if you want to, because that is great content. I can create a video series out of the journey going to take sending you to jail, suing you, you know. I'm going to troll you to death, like Lil Nas, him trolling being gay. Mm-hmm. I said on my Instagram, there's a new gay level of gay. There's the weekend gay, you know, you just gay on the weekend. There's the homeless sexual.
What he said, the weekend?
Yeah, I thought you were saying the weekend was gay.
Is this a breaking story? Homeless
sexual. There's a homeless sexual that needs a place to live, so he might, you know, suck it here and there. And then there's the, you know, the totally trolling gay. Like, I'm just going to troll being gay because being gay is cool, and I'm going to get my clout up. I don't know what's going on in the industry these days. So, yeah.
Do you think Lil Nas X is really gay? I saw you ranting about that.
No, I just called him ugly like 82 times. He ain't really that ugly. I only trolled him because I felt, and he followed us, by the way. Shout out to you. he's a talented kid, you know
he's
what I'm
kid,
saying?
He is a kid.
When you over 18, I'm going to say over 19. It's fair
game.
How
old is he? 19?
Like
20?
21.
Yeah, 20,
21. Oh, okay.
And that beat Mariah Carey. He can take a blow.
Right.
No pun intended.
And he also was a troll himself.
Yes, he knows the game. He's like Soulja Boy. It is what it is.
All right, we got more with Jason Lee. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Right now, we're still kicking it with Jason Lee from Love & Hip Hop LA and Hollywood Unlocked. Yee.
Are there people sliding in your DMs?
Since this iHeart deal, yeah.
I know somebody in this room thinks you handsome, Jace.
Who? Who thinks I'm handsome?
I'm going to let you figure it out.
I'm a married man. Charlamagne's a married man.
I'm going to let you figure
Yee's
it
taken.
Out.
That is three.
Well, Yee doesn't count because she's not in the
running.
Well,
listen, it's not a woman, exactly.
Okay, so Yee doesn't count.
I'm going to let you figure it out.
Listen, keep the...
You made eye contact
keep
with
the
twice.
Show world. I'm making eye contact with everybody.
Right?
Stop.
Anybody good in your DMs?
No. I think, you know, after I said the whole Jussie Smollett thing last time, I think people were like, yeah, I'm not with him.
Yeah, you ass. Why are you making that man uncomfortable?
Who you talking about? Him over there?
Eddie's
he's
married.
Not him.
Eddie married.
You close, though.
Marriage don't mean
shit.
Let me ask you this.
You warm. It's a hot potato.
Do you like beards?
Do I like beards?
Like guys
beards.
With beards.
Like
beards.
Not beards. Like
not,
the guys.
Not guys that are pretending.
Oh, you guys are throwing him under the bus?
What's wrong with you guys?
I'm asking a question. This has no context.
Listen, I'm an equal opportunist. As long as you have good hygiene and, like, you know, whoever else you went on the side ain't going to be on my Instagram, I'm cool.
That's right.
You got good hygiene.
There's only two people I've heard him say he got a crush on. It was you and Lizzo.
Oh, Lizzo.
Yeah.
Yo, Lizzo out here doing her thing, though.
I love Lizzo.
And this
Lizzo.
Is what I understand about the internet. People are so unfair. Like, I get fat shamed, you know, because I'm not skinny at all. But then Lizzo is praised for being overweight. And she's like, I mean, she's like not even like discreet fat, which is not a bad thing. She just put all my fat out there fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? She does get body shamed also. She just chooses to be really positive.
I love it.
In the message that she sends out, because there are definitely people saying negative things. But I think when you put that positivity out there so much, there's going to be a lot more positive comments.
She's my hero. She's actually one of my favorite people right now. And I love her whole movement. I love how she's embraced it. And I mean, if you attack Lizzo, yeah, I think you're just a hater.
And you see she goes through it too. I mean, she's done posts herself where she talks about dealing with her own issues with depression and feeling a certain way. So Everyone goes through it.
Yeah.
When you're in that spotlight.
Well, I don't though, because keep talking about me. I just keep on talking about me. I actually want to interview Nicki Minaj. You guys have had the privilege of doing that. Is that a fun interview?
A few times.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Nicki in a while.
Nicki was fun when she came up here. She cursed me and yeah one time, but she's pretty fun.
Yeah.
She's invited on the show.
Why do you want to interview Nicki Minaj?
I just think it would be fun.
She gonna check you first and foremost.
That's okay. We'll check each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's an equal opportunity checking.
Mm-hmm.
The Barb still on your ass?
No. The Barbs have left me alone. The Ariana Grande fans have left me alone. Okay. And the Beehive has left me alone. Everybody's leaving me alone. Everything is good right now.
Why was the Beehive bothering you?
Because my team, Keisha,
who's on the Rock Nation brunch.
You love Beyonce, though.
Well, the Rock Nation brunch, they said I was chasing around the party. That was funny. I ain't gonna lie.
I was.
A little bit. No, but my team got a picture of Beyonce's twins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember that.
And we were like excited, like, oh my gosh, she finally shared the kids. So I'm like, oh, the kids are so cute, put it up. And then the next thing I know, Newsweek is calling, and they're like, how did you steal these photos? I'm like, steal these photos?
In the house and took pictures.
They put pictures online that I was sneaking in her house. First of all, if I get in Beyonce, this is crazy,
that's
right?
That's what you did? You got into the house?
No. Listen,
I'm just messing with
on
you.
One week, I'm chasing her around a party. The next week, I'm in her house taking photos of the kids off the wall.
Did you get a cease and desist from anybody? Or Rock Nation?
No, but shout out to Yvette Noel Shore. She called.
Mm-hmm, she said,
baby, I need you to take that down. I go, what happened? She goes, that wasn't authorized. I said, okay, cool, I took it down.
But it's kind of too late then. It was everywhere.
Yeah, everybody then took it from there by then.
Not really, because I didn't see it nowhere after Hollywood Unluck.
What? I hit Newsweek up. Yeah. I was like, and I went off on them, and they I thought they would take it down. They just, like, retracted and said, Jason Lee said he wasn't there. And so, still there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Listen, let me ask you something about Beyonce, right? the dude went in who got a crush on you, he said that Beyonce was overrated.
Who said that?
And then he said Drake... What happened?
He said Drake was a bigger star than Beyonce.
What did you say? This say, I don't want to say in your mouth.
Currently, the current climate, Drake is a bigger star.
Bigger than what?
Than Beyonce. More relevant right now as far as music and putting out product, I would say.
So I'm going to just say this. First of all, that, you know, the Bible talks about one sin that's not forgivable and it's blasphemy. I went to see Beyonce at Coachella, and we enjoyed, I mean, it was magnificent performance, homecoming or whatever. We didn't know she was filming a whole album and a movie.
Mm.
At the same time. Her work ethic is beyond, like, nobody can question that, right? Drake undoubtedly is one of the best. I'll tell you a quick Drake story about how I got thrown out of his party last time. after come here. Tristan Thompson, that bitch ass, that's another one I would love to have on my
you
show.
You just be going on just random.
Sorry. I'm having flashbacks.
You got Beyonce right
that
now.
That had me escorted out in public.
We're going to talk about all that.
Let's talk about, get back to that, but let's talk about who's bigger for drunk.
Beyonce, period. Drake would say that, though. Don't he have a song called Beyonce?
Exactly.
Yeah, something like that. Now, why did Drake kick
you
out of the party?
You just don't know what bigger is. That's all.
I do.
Hey,
this is the best. This is the best show ever.
You don't like Drake? What you said?
No, I'm flirting. All right.
Wait, but are you Middle Eastern?
No, Puerto Rican.
What do I think he did? A Puerto Rican guy.
No, because this Middle Eastern slid in my DMs last night. I'm gonna hit his ass when I get back to LA. Okay, so what happened?
Drake, we got Drake now.
Okay, no, we off Drake. Drake is definitely.
You said
like,
Drake you got the kicked out of his
party. Oh no, Drake didn't. Shout out to Drake. Drake, I went to a Drake party in London, and he actually, I mean, I think it was uncomfortable that I was there, but he was like, you know, we had a conversation. I've known Drake before he got famous when he, you know, didn't have no money, and I told him, hey, you can have my phones. I ain't here to report. I'm just here to have a good time. Fast forward. Serge Ibaka, you know,
Carrie Hilson's ex.
So messy in here. But
he won the championship, you know, Toronto Raptors. So he invited me. Drake threw them a party, and he invited me. So I was excited. I went out. You know, I got dressed. I get there, and as soon as we walk in, Tristan's at the bar, and I'm like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
And now that was probably the most awkward running because I ain't seen him since, you know, he cheated on his baby mama's sister's.
And you broke the story.
Oh, absolutely.
Black men don't cheat. Tristan's Canadian, though, so he don't count.
Yeah, okay, so that was standing at the bar, and then my phone rang, so I go, okay, I'll be right back. So I get the phone, I go to walk outside to talk on the phone, because I'm meeting somebody else, and they kind of, you know how somebody just kind of, like, you feel an arm behind you, but like an usher in church, they was just ushering me out the door. So I said, hold on, man. I said, what's that? What's going on? So they said, oh, man, you know, this is a private party. We're going to have to ask you to leave. So people outside are like, hey, Jason, can you get me in? I'm like, how can I get you in? I'm getting kicked out. I ain't never been kicked out. So I left, and Surge and them were like, come back, we'll get you back in. But yeah, he had me escorted out. I didn't know him and Drake were good friends like that.
Now, in an awkward situation where you see Tristan Thompson at an event, would you have said hello before you, if you didn't get kicked out? Would you go up and be like, how you doing?
I would have gone up to him and said, hey, Tristan, what's up, man? I would love to interview you. No shame.
And you had no security?
That day I didn't.
I mean, listen, I don't think that you can be taken serious as a commentator, radio personality, moderator, until you get punched in the face. Especially if you're spicy. If you're spicy and you got a strong POV, I think you got to get punched in the face. It's happened. I've been punched twice.
Have you?
Yes. Joe Budden's been punched. Like, you got to get punched. Jim Rome. Remember Jim Rome?
Wait, so I'm going to get punched?
Probably.
Wendy Williams maybe never got not, punched, though. Did she?
She got ran up on.
But she didn't get punched.
Yo, I've been hanging with Wendy,
man. Angie Martinez?
She got punched.
No, she punched
Angie
Wendy.
She did. Yeah.
You never read Angie's book?
No.
Oh, you got to read Angie's book.
Yeah, they got into a fist cuffs.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've been hanging with Wendy lately. She, man, I wish I could have saw y'all back together. I mean, just together. I'm waiting for her to come here or you to go there. At some point, we just need to see that.
Well, we look forward to hearing this show that premieres August 17th.
Drum, any parting words?
What's wrong with you, bro?
I ain't dated a Puerto Rican in a long time. Either.
I'm not gay.
My ex wasn't.
He ain't after you were gay. That wasn't
gay.
A concern.
My ex wasn't gay.
It's
not about being gay. It's about catching a vibe.
Exactly.
And you guys were not here to out people, like we said earlier.
Catching a vibe.
It seemed like you're a nice guy, but I ain't catching that vibe.
We're not here to out people, so don't do that.
You said what?
We're not here to out people, so don't do that.
No, he just said that Jason was handsome.
He said he was a nice guy.
It's okay. We can continue this.
I hope you get your Antoine Fuqua interview.
Yeah, I'm coming for you.
What do you drink?
What? Water. That's all
right. Hey, here you go.
Hey, whatever you need, Trump.
He got it. It's Jason Lee. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, if you watch the Kardashians, this is what happened, and then we'll explain it. Let's play the audio.
He was really upset. She was putting her in the car, and Penelope scratched her face.
If a kid scratches, can you pop the kid in his cool?
No, but you could also say something to her in the moment.
I'm sorry, but if he scratched me for no reason, I'm whipping her ass, and I'll explain to y'all later.
What?
I would whip her ass.
You would whip Penelope's ass if she scratched you? What are you talking about?
Scratch me.
You
would
whoop my daughter's ass if she touched you.
Now you explain what they're talking about.
Corey Gamble, that's Kris Jenner's boyfriend, said that if Penelope, who is Kourtney Kardashian's daughter, scratched him in the face, he would whoop her ass.
Right. Now I actually hit my niece when I was younger. I didn't know no better. I popped her on the hand and I was wrong for it. I felt funny for it. She was acting up and I popped her and I had a conversation with her dad. And, you know, we talked about it. It was no big problem.
Was he mad?
No, he wasn't mad at all. That like my grandmother used to hit. I remember my grandmother beating me for spraying roach spray on the stove just so I could see the flames go up.
That's your grandma, though. Your grandma is your big mama. You know what I'm saying? Your grandma is the person who used to beat your parents. So being that you came from her chairing, okay, she has the right to put her hands on you.
She
grandma
did.
Really might be the only person.
And I sprayed the roach spray, and then I said something to grandma, like, don't hit me. And then when my dad got there,
bang.
My dad beat me for talking to his mother like that.
Exactly. See, listen, grandma and granddaddy might be the only person that have the rights to do that, but, I mean, me personally.
He's kind of like a granddaddy, though.
Corey Gamble?
Yeah, he's kind of like a grandfather.
No, he's not. Why is he a grandfather?
Well, he's the grandfather.
Oh, he's a step-grandfather. No,
but,
no, but he's not
but
by
not
blood.
Married.
He's not by blood. My, the moral of the story is I don't beat my children. I don't beat my children because I just don't see the need. You know what I'm saying? And furthermore, I think that you can just have a conversation with kids, but I'm definitely not putting my hands on nobody else, child. Like, if you put your hands on somebody else, child, then me and you got smoke immediately. There is never a reason for you to put hands on my children. And what if I don't beat my kids, but you hit my kids?
Listen,
Think about that. What if I don't hit my kids, but my kids are at your house, and then they get hit by you, an adult? Now me and you got a fade to catch.
Well, I've never, ever hit anybody else's kids either. I have 3 godchildren. I'm the number one babysitter. Actually, I feel like when I'm babysitting, my responsibility is just to spoil other people's kids.
I don't see nothing wrong with that.
That's what you should do.
That's all
I
do.
As a godparent.
They always like, auntie, okay, uncle. I'm going to see Angela, so I already know what we're going to do. We're going to go shopping. We're going to go buy some new toys. We're going to get ice cream.
My grandma hit me with an ashtray one time. I did stupid stuff. I deserved it, though. I deserved it.
Listen, we all...
It fixed me, straightened me right up.
No, it didn't.
So it's okay for us to hit you?
No, it didn't.
Yes,
it did. Listen, we all got beaten when we were kids. I got beaten with extension cords. My dad used to beat me with an extension cord, made me go take a bath. I used to have to go pick the switch. I had them little wooden utensils on the freaking kitchen wall. My Spoons. Mama would hit me with those. But guess what? If we being honest, all of that was just abuse. And the truth of the matter is, all our parents was doing was the best they could. They were probably young parents at the time. That's the only way they knew how to discipline was through physical punishment. We know better in this generation. We don't got to beat our kids. And we damn sure shouldn't be putting our hands on nobody else's.
Hello, who's this?
Marita.
Hey, Marita. You ever had to put your hands on somebody else's kids?
I did. I was watching my niece, and she was messing with the socket in the wall. And I told her, and I actually went and got her and pulled her back, like, twice. And then she put her mouth on it. And I popped her in her hand, and I told my sister. And I did feel bad, but I agree with Charlamagne, and I agree with you. Like, some kids you can talk to.
Right.
And, you know, they'll listen. But some kids... I think you got to pop them every now and then.
But
that's what the white man used to think about slaves, too. Slaves you got to beat.
Like, even at it with a two-year-old. Like, a two-year-old you can't have a conversation with, don't put your finger in the electric socket. But if you pop their hand, they think about, you know what? If I go near this electric socket, it's going to hurt. I'm not going
to
do it.
Yeah, but you're not telling them, you're not explaining to them what could happen if they actually put the hand in the electric socket. I tell my daughter, you know, if you put your hand in that, you're going to die. You're not going to be here with us no more. Well, I would rather her...
So you told that to your 1.5-year-old, 2-year-old?
She's one. That's why you got the plugs in the socket to put the socket.
Obviously, this lady...
You're not listening to my point, though. You're not teaching them that the socket is what actually can kill them. You're teaching them to be scared of you. When the reality is, you'd be teaching them that, no, the socket is what can kill you.
Right, but 1.5, they're not thinking about, wow, this socket. They're thinking, if I go near this socket, I'm going to get popped. I'm not going near that socket. That's how kids think.
Well, you should have put the goddamn things in the socket. You should have child-proofed the sockets then.
Kendra!
Yeah?
Good morning, Kendra. You ever hit somebody else's kid?
Yes, I have.
Well, now what happened, Kendra? Who you hit?
All right, so, look, I'm in the Walmart. The little kid calls me the B word. So I give his mom a chance to reprimand him, you know, like, hey, you don't do that. That's disrespectful. So he calls me the B word again. He was like, bitch, hurry up. And I popped him in his mouth. You got me
Hey, Kendra!
Oh, my gosh.
What is it, Kendra? You can't walk around. That's
Kendra,
abuse.
Kendra, her mama should have dragged. Yeah, her mama should have dragged your ass
and then locked you up. You can't just be hitting kids you don't know, Kendra. You don't even know this kid.
Hey, Robert, I gave his mom a chance.
Robert, if he had Tourette's and he had a problem and he would just be splurting out, bitch, so you just popped the kid in the mouth.
Nah, come on now. See, then I would have felt bad. But see, she didn't say none of that. She was just like, yeah, hurry up. I'm just like, stood by her son's side. So she left him with her ass too.
You got, what did the mama do to you after you hit the child?
Nothing. She just kind of looked at me like, I can't believe you hit my son. And I just looked at her. I was like, yo, you got a problem? I said, we can go out to the parking lot.
Boy, y'all some brave souls.
Because then you was about to fight the mom.
If that lady would have pulled out a gun and shot you right there, she'd have been in the right, because the story would have been a woman hits somebody's child in the store.
Not even that. Crazy black woman.
Yeah, crazy black woman hits a white little kid in the store. White woman, she guns it down.
Kendra, where you from?
I'm from Chicago.
Yeah, makes sense.
Hey, bitch, hurry up and get off my phone.
My goodness. 800, she gonna F you up. 800-585-1051. Have you ever hit somebody else's kids? Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Angela Yee, and we got Yolanda and Rick Williams in here. Detroit, what up, though?
What up, though?
Hey, what up, though?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, so last time you guys were here, we talked about cream blends.
Uh-huh. Yes.
A lot, and so I want to get into the new deal with Puma and Inspire Day.
Okay.
You know I love Puma, by the way.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, what's this Puma collab about?
So we mentioned on the last time we were here, we talked about how we have a creative agency called The Distinct Life. That's basically our family business, and cream blends and everything kind of fits under there. So we have I had a deal with Puma for a couple years. I did two projects. We've already done one, and this was the second one.
Okay.
And this project is actually going to come out exclusively at Foot Locker, mm-hmm. which is different because everyone knows me as Rick from Burn Rubber. And
I know.
So now it's like, but in order for the brand to grow, we have to be able to get to more people.
And
so,
Burn Rubber is the brand in the store that you have.
Yes,
in
Detroit.
So, yeah, that is very famous.
Yeah,
with Roland Coit.
Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, so we just had the opportunity for my second project or the second collection. I wanted to kind of tell the story about the people that inspire us and kind of what we do. Like the agency, our mission is to inspire. Mm-hmm. We believe that that's what God has us here to do and to be responsible with the opportunities that we get. And with this shoe project, we
kind of... Can we see them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if you look at the box...
Fire.
You see, this is our mission.
Mm-hmm. Challenge, yep. Celebrate, distinct life, ooh. Inspire.
Yeah, so inspire is a big okay. thing, yes.
I like Detroit the box, distinct life. World. Detroit inspires the world.
Yeah.
Yo, Puma really loves black people.
They do. Cause
I think
try,
so.
You know, they try
I agree.
To play, I guess as the underdog.
There's a lot of good people in the building right
these
now.
These are fresh.
Yeah. So, like I said, if you look right here, is there? Mm-hmm.
Detroit inspires the world. It says on the
back. Yeah. So obviously that's where we're from. That's where we live, and that's where we kind of do our thing. So. We wanted to represent Detroit, but it's really a bigger conversation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We try through our life, through everything that we do, we try to inspire people to be better. And product is what I do. You know what I'm saying? I design, I'm a creative director. So for me to be able to take our company and be able to use this opportunity to tell stories, you know, to me, it's a big blessing and it's a big responsibility.
Now, you have Inspire Day also.
Yes. Yeah. So Inspire Day is...
Oh, these are hard.
It's the release of these shoes. And hopefully, we're going to be able to make it an annual thing. But this December 7th in Detroit at the Foot Locker Power Store, we're going to be having a day full of conversation and activity to kind of celebrate the city, the people that make up the city, the people that inspire us to be who we are, and mm-hmm. vice versa. We're going to have you come.
Special guest,
I'll be
Angela
there.
Yee.
You know it.
We just found out that Big Sean's going to be there. So we'll have a conversation with Sean.
And we're going to talk with Earl Mack. So we're going to be able to get into a lot of stories.
This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, because these are stories from, like, these are guys that have been around since I started mm-hmm. in business. And no one really knows that stuff because it was so long ago. So we can even touch on moments that we had back in the day. I can remember when Sean came and got the jacket that he wore on the Get You Some video at the Bape store. So, like, I designed the jacket and gave it to him for that. Mm-hmm. So to be able to share, we have so much of that type of stuff that can be shared, so many different stories that...
Did you put the sneakers on already, Charlamagne?
I did.
I appreciate it.
Because before I co-sign these, I got to make sure they're comfortable.
That was cold.
Because I'm 41, so the comfort means more to me than anything.
I thought you were a size 12.
Nah, that's 11 and a half. It's money. Yeah. It's perfect.
It fits perfect?
Okay. Hell yeah. I got a Wu-Tang hoodie that'll go great with.
Yeah.
I saw Rick wearing a Wu-Tang hoodie.
Yeah. You did, for real? Yeah.
I did it. It was a way I actually put those out. I was like, right.
That's nah, you dope. What style Puma?
Hey, Reza, we're right here.
Yeah, we're right here.
Yee, don't you know
him? Yeah, what style Puma?
She
know
everybody.
You want me to get it?
Yeah.
I got you.
Cream. Yeah. What style Puma
is
around.
This is the Palace Guard. So the reason I use this is because it was actually Isaiah Thomas's signature shoe when he was with Puma.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So,
there's a reason for everything.
Yeah, wow. Everything.
Inspired by.
Original bad boy.
Yeah, wow. So...
No,
it's definitely a blessing.
All right, so December 7th is Inspire Day, so I will be out there. What else is happening that
so
day? You said Big
that
Sean
it can? Starts out with, like, we're going to do the last run of the season with We Run 313.
Oh, mm-hmm. I did that with them before.
Yes, yeah, so we're going to do their last run of the season.
Sponsored
then we're gonna
by
have
Puma, so they'll have the weather running
weather,
gear.
Yeah, like winterized running gear, because I can't imagine it being warm that day, but... Then after that,
it snowed in Detroit.
Yeah.
Oh, you play ping pong, don't you?
Yes, I do. I'm
so now
good.
We can finally play each other. We're gonna bring.
We didn't even say it.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna say it, but we love it.
I do play ping pong.
Yeah. And then we have we're gonna have trap yoga. There.
Yep.
Fun. Yeah, and then everyone there gets to keep their distinct life ex Puma yoga mats.
Wow.
So everyone who signs up, you have to sign up ahead of time. Like all of the all of the, I guess, the
workshops
you have to sign up for.
A 3D shoe design workshop. So there'll be actual models of the shoe, like the Puma Palace Guard, and then the attendees will get to paint the shoe
with Eric Lowry. So one of our guys is Eric Lowry, El Cappy. He does like customizing of sneakers. He's been doing it since like the beginning of Burn Rubber.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only like 25 spots for that. Mm-hmm. So people have to sign up to do that with
Eric. When can they sign up?
I think now. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to be able to just go to our website.
Yeah, distinctlife.com /inspire.
Oh, those 25 spots about to be gone. All right,
yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah, they are. It's all good. We'll do more. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a good time.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. So I can't wait.
December 7th is the day.
Go to distinctlife.com so you
That's
guys
right.
can sign up for these workshops and also to come and be involved. And
yeah.
I'll beat you at ping pong.
Yeah. All right.
Open to everybody.
Come play ye. Come play ye in ping pong.
Thank you for pulling up, man.
Thank you, guys. Thank you,
appreciate you getting the website.
We appreciate y'all. So it's distinctlife.com/inspire for the event at creamblends.com. I'm sorry, for the Cream Blends website. Mm-hmm.
And all the Instagrams.
Find us on Instagram as well.
Yep, Cream Blends on Instagram, Distinct Life on Instagram.
Yay.
That's right.
Thank you.
It's the Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Charlamagne, you got a positive note for the people?
Yes, the positive note is simply this, man. Don't let the happiness of others cause you to be jealous. A true sign of maturity is being happy for others even when life is hard on you.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.